The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Hey boys and girls, we are back. I know you missed us, but you know what this is, the Gridiron Gals podcast. Of course, I am the NFL chick.
Hey everybody, I'm Chelsea's right. I think I was the hold up for the podcast not getting done the last couple
it's
of weeks.
It's okay. You know, sometimes life gets in the way, and you know, they understand. Yeah. People got things to do too, so.
Yeah, I was on vacation. Life ain't getting in the way. I was on vacation.
It's like
I was on vacation. Yeah, in a good way.
That's a good way. Shoot, I ain't mad at you at all. So I hope you enjoyed your vacation. I see that you brought some of the warm weather back to the United States. It's November, but it's like 70 degrees. So
yeah, this global warming thing is unreal. Earth is gonna fry us up like some bacon.
Exactly. So here we go. Let's start. I mean, listen, you were out of the country. And so I assume that you didn't watch football, but you didn't miss anything. Football was what it's been all year, not good, except for this past Sunday. It was pretty decent. But for you, has the NFL season gotten better now that the season has gone on? The ratings are still down by double digits. Let me be clear. The ratings are still down in primetime games by double digits. And usually, over the past couple of years, the NFL has allowed Sunday Night Football to go on while Major League Baseball has done their World Series, something that they gave them the week off before. And then they decided to continue Sunday Night Football, and then they got hammered against the World Series in a Sunday night game. So for you, has football gotten more watchable? Is it still the same? How are you feeling?
That there are a few factors that should go into the ratings, getting the ratings for primetime games. I mean, if we want to just talk about the Thursday games, they should get rid of the Thursday games. They have never been good. I can maybe think of one Thursday game that I think was surprisingly good. But the Thursday night games are horrible, and I feel like they are the reason why we're seeing so many injuries too. So now everybody's out. I mean, over 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, season-ending injuries. As far as the Sunday and Monday, I think that initially we thought the matchups would be a lot better. But again, you have all of these – you have big players getting hurt, and the teams just aren't as good anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't understand why the NFL is not able to see why these games aren't good anymore. Your big players or players in general, doesn't need to be a marquee player, they're getting hurt a lot.
Yes.
I think that might be a reason why. A reason why may be because of streaming. I know that Thursday Night Football is streaming, so I don't know if the streaming on Twitter factors into the primetime ratings. And you can also stream on the app. So like Monday Night Football, you can stream on the ESPN app, on the Watch ESPN app. So I'm not sure if that affects it as well.
Are you watching the games, though?
No. Okay, so put it this way. Am I watching the games are on? The games are on just for the sound of the game. Am I watching and paying attention and interested and entertained? No. Last night I watched Vikings Chicago, and it was on, and I was very minimally interested.
Right. I am not interested as much as I used to be. And I'm going to tell you, for me, marquee players are getting hurt. You got bad quarterbacking. You got a shitload of flags being thrown. I read a tweet today, and I'm sorry that I didn't favorite it because I wanted to reference it for the podcast. But let me try to go off my memory. It was like, it said something that personal fouls was up 43% and pass interference was up 45%. I don't know if it was over a year ago or 2 years ago, but basically they're saying that the flags is going crazy. Then also the policing of the players. This is a sport which is entertainment, and you want them to just hand over the ball to the referees and say, well, you know, these are role models you know, meantime, you have like half-naked cheerleaders at the game. You have beer commercials. You have sex commercials. But the players are the problem. So, you know.
How does somebody get in with the dildo?
Okay, yeah. You know what? That was the highlight of my day on Sunday. Ironically.
How did somebody get into, you mean, I can't even take my purse in the game, but you can take a dick in the game?
Right. Exactly. Please. Exactly. So, you know.
Even down to the shoes, even down to the cleats. I mean, you can't even wear, unless they are Arnold Palmer on your cleats, then you're okay. But you can't wear Muhammad Ali on your cleats. And I mean, they just want to fine for everything. Like, it really is becoming very ridiculous. It's not fun anymore.
No, no, it's not. And, you know, I miss the NFL. Listen, you know, we have come to where the NFL, where the players as well as the fans are begging for flags after every single play. And you know why? That's because no one knows the real interpretation of the penalty anymore. People just think anything is a flag. And everybody wants a flag for every single play. And it has watered down the game. It has made the games longer. I am just not interested. That adds to the fact that the on-the-field play, regardless of the flags, just ain't fun no more. And Dan Levitard brought up a point, too, is that, you know, nobody's really taking shots down the field, really. You know, the Raiders are fun to watch, but there aren't too many Raiders teams. Everybody's kind of doing these short intermediate passes. New England, that's their bread and butter. They don't really throw down the field a whole lot. They do these timing routes that are short, and they get a lot of yards after the catch.
Chunky.
Yeah. Like, New England, to me, is a very boring team to watch, outside of Gronkowski. Like, when they go to him and how you see guys bounce off of him, that makes it exciting. Outside of Gronkowski, New England is a pretty boring team to watch, although dominant, boring. And so this is where I've come to. It's just too many factors all coming in at the same time, and it's just making football not watchable like it used to be.
Yeah, and I think that there has been a steady decline, but maybe the decline has gotten a little bit steeper now, and I really believe that in the offseason, they're going to get together at these meetings and get something done. One of the things they need to do is have full-time referee staff, and in the offseason, the referees need to be training and practicing and doing all of those things, just like the players, just like you and I need to do when we need to perfect some of our skills for our professions. Yes. We have to practice. We have to study and research and get together, and that's what the referees need to do. I can't remember the ref's name, but the crew that did the Cowboys and the Eagles game, I feel like that crew was I think that they threw the most flags out of any NFL crew or something weird like that.
Yeah.
You know, you need to start, I think I mentioned this before, like peer review or something, you know, because I mean, some of these flags and these, you know, some of these calls are just ridiculous. And some things you can, it's holding, but some things you just have to kind of let go. You know, it's holding on every play. How egregious is
every play?
You
know? And every we know, play. But we know that. And all of them don't get called as a result. So, you know, I'm just at the point where I'm kind of tired of the NFL in terms of, I get that you want it to be an offensive game. But then you're helping the teams. You're helping teams that aren't good, you know. And so it's not fun to watch. It's not a good product. It's not fun to watch. And this is where I've gone with the NFL. I never thought that I would get to this point. Like, I never thought that I would ever be tired of the NFL or not feeling the NFL or making it not fun. Hey, but here we are. You know, it's just too many factors coming into play at the same time, and it's just not fun like it used to be. You know, and that's unfortunate. But the one thing that we did see that was fun to watch was your Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles. They won in overtime. Yes, it was some controversy on that, but, you know, it's always going to be to me, the controversies are always the fun games. You know, you think of the Packers' new Seattle game. You think of the Packers-Lions game. I mean, it's always – those are the fun games to watch. And, obviously, that was a controversy at the end. They said it was a holding call that, you know, that possibly should have been called on the touchdown. I don't really care about that. All I care is to be entertained. And it was an entertaining game, and the Cowboys are 6-1. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, it actually was a good game. It actually was a good game. Good enough to where I actually was not nervous. Like, I actually something strange is happening, because last year I would have gone in my room and crawled underneath my bed during a game like this. But I started off watching with a friend, and I left during halftime, so I missed the third quarter. I got home in the fourth quarter and I was so calm. Like, I didn't even listen to the game on the way. I said, you know what? Whatever's happening is happening. I was surprisingly calm. Now, I don't usually like games going into overtime because I'll lose it. But yeah, I was surprisingly calm, sober and calm. I can't even believe myself.
That's how I know something's up with the NFL, because you was calm and you were sober. You definitely ain't feeling it like you used to. But look,
I think I may be numb like I was last year. Numbed me, and I think I still may be numb.
I can definitely dig that, because I was numb at the 2011 season, and 2012 was great. Winning the Super Bowl was great, but I felt different. I think. Sorry.
Did I just hear your children arguing with each other?
Yes, and I am going to. We apologize, guys. My dogs want to be in my space so bad. I had kicked them out, and they found their way back into my space, and then they want to fight. They really irritate the shit out of me. But back to the Cowboys. They're 6-1, and obviously there was, you know, some controversy or fake controversy, whatever you want to call it, about that versus Romo. And we talked about this on the podcast before, but, you know, now Jerry Jones is starting to change this too. So where do you stand in terms of who should be the quarterback when Tony Romo is healthy?
Okay. So one thing, earlier today I told myself that I needed to turn off all of the Cowboys alerts from my phone, because every single alert that comes up from every sports site is about goddamn Romo versus here's my stance on that. I am a Tony Romo apologist. For the Dallas Cowboys for many years with nowhere near what kind of offensive line we have now. And now that we have this type of offensive line, he's hurt. He's gotten beat up for years and has, you know, pulled magic out of his ass getting beat up for years. But anyway, basically the type of injury he has, like he broke a bone in his back. There's the healing time and then there's the ready to play time. I honestly do not believe that he is ready to be on that field. And like he said last week, the doctors have to let him know, because we're talking about that one hit may hit that sweet spot, and that might be a wrap for you. You're talking about playing again. You may not walk again. It's not worth it. You're getting $27 million this year. It ain't worth it. So you have to go through the healing process, and now you have to go through the conditioning process, and that takes a long time. Unfortunately, and we know that this is the culture of the NFL, if we were 1-6 right now, they would rush him right back on that field.
Easily.
Rush him right back on that field. It is wonderful that we have the opportunity to be 6-1 with a rookie, you know, backup quarterback that can carry us as long as we need him to carry us. And when I looked at this game on Sunday night, which was, out of all the games that Dak Prescott has played, it was his worst game. It was his worst game. He had some silly passes. He showed himself to be a rookie. And then there were situations that he was in that made me think, if that was Romo, that would have been a lot different.
Right.
Even as far as getting the ball downfield a lot faster, it makes a difference type things. And look, this is not a knock on Dak Prescott. This is his first time this is his first year in the NFL. If these are the problems that he's having now, I mean, if he is the future, oh man, we have a whole lot to look forward to. A whole lot to look forward to. And his last play, that whole sequence to Jason Witten, he looked like Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
That spin move, I said, oh, I recognize that, you know, and then into that favorable target. So I think you need to let this man heal. You know, he seems to be very good on the sideline, a very good mentor to Dak. Let him heal, and we can take this thing on to, you know, and see where it goes. I just hate that people that keep talking about, you know, like you want to push him out to the pasture like he ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, it happens. It's happened to everybody. Joe Montana, it happened to Joe Montana. So if it can happen to Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, it can happen to anybody. But it's all about what we need right now. And, you know, I know people say play the hot hand or whatever, blah, 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 blah. I think that if Tony Romo is 100% healthy and ready to play, then you put Tony Romo in the game.
Yeah, I don't really know how to feel about this. I do wonder if he's going to hit a wall, a rookie wall. And, you know, we're at week 8. I know that the Cowboys just came off of a bye, so 7 weeks for Dak. So he's about 5 games out from 12 games, which is what he's used to playing on the college level. But, you know, I'm curious to know how this goes about. And you know, I think that he starts to struggle, you're absolutely going to hear people start to say, this is why this is Romo's job and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. I guess for now, you really, if Romo isn't 100%, you really have no reason to not start that.
Not at all. I mean, you know, how many times do teams get the opportunity to actually rehab and rest their players that get hurt?
Yep.
You know, you really don't have that opportunity very often. And you made an excellent point. I mean, you know, you have 12 games, you know, that you are, you know, 12 games compared to, we have 16 games compared to 12 and possibly more if you go into the playoffs. You know, those lights get a lot brighter when you get into the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely. So
they get a lot brighter. And all he needs to do is do something crazy to blow a game in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and everybody's going to be crawling back to Tony Romo. So why even put this kid in that situation?
You're right.
You know? So, and I think the Cowboys will make a good decision. Look, Jerry Jones isn't the decision maker anyway. So everybody's just getting sound bites from him. He isn't the decision maker.
Right. We know who he's just the face of the franchise, basically. He's the mascot. Right.
He's the mascot. You know, we just say, yeah, Jerry, we just push his rocking chair and keep his glass filled with whiskey and we're fine. I trust Stephen Jones completely. I don't think he's made a bad decision yet, other than Greg Hardy. And, you know, our drafting is superb, you know. So that's where I am with it. I'm not arguing with no more Cowboys fans on Twitter about no goddamn Romo, who ain't watched Romo, who watched about 2 years of Tony Romo,
right,
talking about all it. Like, Dak, get out of my damn face. And you know what? We've given Dak his unusual amount of talent around him. A lot of times these rookie quarterbacks come in here, they don't have this amount of talent around them automatically.
Oh, very true.
They just fit in. Uh-uh.
Very true. That's absolutely true. So he benefited greatly from that. Somebody who's not benefiting greatly right now is our boy Cameron Newton. And he is talking very loudly about his lack of calls that he's getting on the field, roughing the passer calls. There was a call in particular that Mike Piara, the former director of officiating, immediately came on Twitter and was like, that absolutely should have been flagged. And it wasn't. And he had post game where he talked about the refs and how he's just not getting hit. How he's not getting the flags. And then you have Marcus Gilbert from the Steelers come out and say, well, you know, you doing all this whining last year when you was dabbing, it was all good. But, you know, now that you're losing, which, I mean, you know, hey, Cam has already told us before he is a sore loser. So is Cam a sore loser or does he have a very valid point?
I don't think he's a sore loser. I think he has a valid point. But there is a difference between these things happening and you not winning games versus winning games. I would like for him to have been vocal about that last year as well, because, you know, these are things that could affect his livelihood. I think that what Cam probably, you know, should have done to make it, because everyone always looks at him like he's this, you know, whiny crybaby guy. Let your coach handle it.
Yeah.
Let your coach be the one to get up there and be like, you know what, this is some fuck shit going on here. We need to have a meeting with the commissioner and stuff like that. But, you know, Cam got up in that press conference, and the only thing people are talking about is the outfit he had on, because apparently he was dressed like an AKA.
He was. Looked like he was
dressed
ready
like
go,
a little AKA at homecoming.
Like he was going to ready go, so, have to go step somewhere afterward. But yeah.
And that's the only thing. And I was like, he has some valid concerns, but all of the memes are out about what he has on. But yeah, I just let his coach handle it. But I guess he figured, this is my body, I say what I want to say. People are selective on who they have sympathy for.
Yes.
And when you are seen as a boastful, arrogant person, people will have less sympathy for you.
Yes. But is he valid?
Yeah, it's valid.
That's a valid concern. I think it's absolutely valid. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we know that Cam is, when he's up, and when he's down. And yes, the Panthers are 2-5 right now, so I mean, you know, pretty opposite from last year when he had only 2 losses the entire season. But at the same time, I think that if he's getting hit like that, and I think there's a stat came out like he's been hit the most since 2013, then, you know, listen, you got to call it for what it is. Now, yes, is Cam big like a linebacker and all of those things? Absolutely. And when you're established as a runner, are you allowed to get hit? Absolutely. So he can't argue about that. But when he's in the pocket, he, to me, has a valid point if he's getting hit and nothing is happening as a result. You see some of these hits that he's getting in the pocket, that we wouldn't see from Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. So the league, and this kind of goes back to the point of why we're not really watching football. We want consistency. What can a player do to hit a guy, or what is considered a personal foul? You can't have it both ways, where it's one guy is getting these calls, but the other guy isn't getting these calls, but then you want to protect all the quarterbacks in the league. That doesn't make sense. It makes no right. sense. And so for the league to because remember, not too long ago, the league said, well, somebody was some other quarterback, and I can't remember who they said, is getting hit more than you. Yeah, that's not correcting the problem. That's not okay either. You realize that, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, you saying that doesn't make the shit better. So, yeah.
So as we are talking about this, Ian Rappaport tweeted out, he said, context to Panthers QB Newton's comments about pocket protection. He's gotten 9 roughing calls since 2013, more than Brady, Ben, and Rodgers. And then I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Cian Fay. I don't know what his name is.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
He retweets him and says, Newton has had 1 since the start of 2015. It was negated by intentional grounding. Brady has had 5 alone just last year. So this is what happens when you try to play the numbers game.
Yep. Yep.
This is what happens when you try to play the numbers game. And then he goes on to say the NFL jumped out with these numbers really quickly and is telling that they picked the arbitrary start of 2013 because they know that's where the bulk of the calls were.
Exactly.
You know, instead of trying to prove this person wrong, why don't you fix the problem?
Yep. They don't want to. That's why. You know, they didn't want Cam Dabbing, and then, you know, they don't like him showboating. And so, you know, getting him hit around is shutting him the fuck up, basically. But it's making him more loud because now he's speaking out about it, something I don't think that they planned for. So, yeah, you got to do something about this. This is another reason why it's making it hard for me to watch the league. I can't be okay with seeing certain guys get those calls, but then he's not getting those calls. That's not fair. It's not fair. And if you're going to call it across the board, call it across the board, not for guys that you like, guys that you don't like. For whatever reason, listen, Cam Dabbing hurt nobody last year.
Nobody.
He made football fun and exciting. You didn't took that away, and now the man still can't get calls. It's just frustrating.
He can't get calls, right. And don't penalize him because he turns himself, because he becomes a runner either.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't penalize him. Oh, runner, he gets it. He's a runner. Oh, no. Sometimes Cam is standing straight up in the pocket and these things happen.
That's so exactly.
Don't try to anything. Because, see, now when you start talking about him being a runner, now that makes me think you're trying to say something else.
Yep. I agree.
If you're enjoying this show that you're listening to, you can keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit our website, cspn.us, then click on the Keep Our Podcasts Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, and so much more. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends the CSPN a payment that helps us keep these podcasts free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon through CSPN.us. Do it today.
All right, awesome off-the-field news. We had Mr. Colin Kaepernick on his bye week this past weekend do something very good. He is absolutely the epitome of what we consider walking the walk with what he is doing. And he started a Black Panther-inspired youth camp. And where he went to Oakland, it was called Know Your Rights Camp, and where he had some kids in Oakland, 100 kids registered for the first series. He was also joined by Erica Huggins, and they did some positive things to try to get these kids to understand what they have to look forward to going into the real world. So what's your thoughts on that? Because I really feel like, you know, at the very least, he's doing his part in backing up what the protest means.
And very silently doing that. You know what I mean? Some of the first comments that we saw when Colin Kaepernick came out and speaking out against the national anthem and things like that is that, oh, well, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? And almost, I mean, within weeks, he was donating money, rallying people together. I think this is an excellent, they need to know what their rights are. Many people, even as adults, don't exactly know what their rights are. And they allow people who do know their rights and who want to abuse those rights to take advantage of their ignorance. So I think it's absolutely awesome that he's inspiring the young people like that, and that 100 kids signed up for it. Like, yes. That's a significant number to me.
Yes.
And of course, it's awesome that it's in Oakland, which is like, which is for the most part ground zero for the Black Panther Party. And
yes.
For those of you that don't know a lot, Erica Huggins was definitely a member of the Black Panther Party. And the Black Panther Party, depending on what lens you look through, from a one angle, you may see them as these violent people, which is absolutely untrue. But they did the breakfast programs for children. They started the Women, Infants, and Children program, which is still going on. So he's following directly in their footsteps. Lord have mercy. Footprints. Y'all, I'm telling you, I'm fighting a sinus cold. All the pressure on my head, I can't think. He's following in their footsteps. Like, he's doing a damn thing. I'm so proud of him.
Yes.
And I never in a thousand years would have pictured that it would be him. Never in a thousand years. And how refreshing is it, you know?
I think that's the best part, is that we are seeing him mature as a person. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think we're, you know, yeah, you're right. 4 years ago, I don't think he does this. Not at all. I just think that he does, you know, what, you know, football players do. Fuck bitches, get money, all that other stuff that people stereotype or whatever. And then now you're starting to see the maturation of Colin Kaepernick. You can tell that he's a guy who has calculated himself into studying what he's fighting for.
Absolutely.
Looking for a solution, financially putting his back on it, putting his time and his effort on it. And for everybody who has something to say, I would find it very interesting if you still have something to say at this point, because he's proven.
You're quiet now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everybody's quiet now because he's actually, you mm-hmm. know, walking the walk. But when he was kneeling, mm-hmm. you know, at that break that everybody's like talking and chugging beer, you know, that the national anthem part that nobody cared about until now. So I'm just curious to know that if anybody still has a problem, what would the problem be? And if you still have a problem, then that means the problem is that you don't want the people that he's teaching to know what equality means. And then that's the bigger problem. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I really salute him. I'm mm-hmm. really proud of him. Like you said, you know, that's huge to have her come in, to have Huggins come in and talk to these kids. And, you know, just because they're from Oakland don't mean that they know the history of the Black Panther Party. Maybe they learned a history lesson.
Absolutely.
With her coming in. They may not have learned in school. Yeah.
And most likely the party was disbanded, you know, way before these children's.
Exactly. They're probably our age. Their parents are our age.
Right. And then you start hearing how we got disbanded and what happened to some of the leaders. I mean, the story could get distorted and distorted. That's why the documentary came out. And I like the fact that Colin Kaepernick is in touch with intricate and founders of that movement that can guide him, because that's the way. And even say, oh, I wish he would have done it this way, or I wish he would try this. He's doing it exactly. He's listening to people, and he's putting those things into action, and he's bringing those people along with him.
Yep.
So kudos to him. And you see a lot of NFL players, or a lot of players are athletes anyway. Usually their youth camps are driven towards sports, and I like that this isn't driven towards sports. It's driven toward humanity. It's driven towards, you need to educate yourself. You need to know the history of your people and policing history, which is significant, and teach you skills to make it home safely. Like, you know, these people who are talking, and I'm not talking about the trolls and the racists and all. I'm talking about people who I had respect for, like Kirk Herbstreit. And I'm going to tell you something, and I know you have dismissed him too.
Yes.
I have not watched College Game Day since Kirk Herbstreit made that comment saying that all of this makes me appreciate the national anthem this much more. I have not watched since then. I don't turn that TV on until then.
I can't punish myself because Kirk Herbstreit's a dickhead, because because at the end of the day, Desmond Howard is still there, who I know is very
I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging what anybody else chooses to do. I can't stand to hear his voice.
Right.
To hear Kirk Herbstreit's voice, and to hear him all of a sudden go silent after that and not acknowledge what's going on now, because you don't even take the time out to think that we're trying to make sure that these babies just come home at
yes,
night.
Yes.
And you talking about some damn dumbass song. Well, we try to make sure they come home at night.
Well, he doesn't understand. And that's the problem that we've had. And I really would hope that somebody like Desmond Howard would have talked to him and get him to understand a little bit better. That, you know, maybe you should shut the fuck up and sit this one out.
Like who checked, what's the dude name? Lord, I'm Paul Feinbaum. Whoever checked Paul Feinbaum need to check the rest of them.
Yes. So that's kind of where we are with, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, but kudos again to Kaepernick. I'm just so proud of him, I just hope he continues to fight the good fight. It's a process. I mean, I know he gets death threats and all that, but he seems like he's ready for the challenge, and I am just so proud of what he's done. Like, he's my friend. I mean, I don't even know him. I ain't never met him a day in my life, but I'm so proud of him.
And look, he got that starting job back, didn't he?
He sure as hell did. Now, they ain't done nothing, but I don't think that's on him. They just think overall as a team. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think he can possibly get better from here. All right, let's go. We got some picks for week 9. Real quick, let's get through them because we got some college that we have to discuss. We got to talk college. So, let's start with Thursday night, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta as well. All right, Pittsburgh goes to Baltimore. They said Big Ben is practicing. I mean, he want to play so bad, but girl, his ass ain't healthy, so.
He's healthy, Baltimore. Y'all should win that game.
Yeah, I think that I think somehow they get out of that 4-game losing streak because you always show up against your rival. Dallas, your Cowboys at Cleveland.
I'm going to be so damn embarrassed if the Cowboys lose that game. We should do very well against
they
Cleveland.
They can't stop the damn run. Get out of my face.
No.
All right, Jacksonville, Kansas City. I can't believe you, Tommy. That was the old shows coming out. That was old. That was
anxiety shows came out. About like, oh my God, it might be a trap game.
Worried about nothing.
I know. Thanks for putting me in check. What was the next one?
Jacksonville at Kansas City.
Kansas City.
All right.
Jacksonville out of my
Jets at Miami. This is a shitty game.
Jets at Miami. Miami. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'll go with Miami as well. All right, Detroit and Minnesota. They dropped 2 straight.
Hey, this should be a good – I don't know what the hell is happening in Minnesota, but I'm going to pick them to win this game. I don't think they lose 2
straight. Sam Bradford showed up. The real Sam Bradford showed up. You know how they ask for the real Slim Shady, please stand up? I'm going with Detroit. Philly goes to the Giants.
I'm going to go with Philly.
I don't know.
The Giants are just too unpredictable. You really don't know. You know, they are like an entire Jay Cutler.
They are.
You don't know who is going to show up at any given time. So I'm just going to go with the Eagles.
I am going to go with, okay, I don't know. I'm going to just pick Giants, whatever. All right, Carolina at Los Angeles. Is Carolina back on track?
And they're at Los Angeles? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is
another week that
Cam
might get roughed around.
He might get roughed around. I'm going to go with Jeff Fisher and company on that one.
I'm going to try to say, I think that Carolina might be back to something. I don't know what that something is, but maybe they can beat the Rams. All right. New Orleans at San Francisco.
New Orleans should win that game.
They should.
Although I would like for Colin to get his win, but I think New Orleans is going to win that.
I think so too, although I'm hoping San Francisco pulls one out. All right, Indianapolis at Green Bay.
Green Bay. I don't know who Indy is right now.
They don't know
you. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
You know who they are, whether they realize it or not? Harborn defense. There it is. The Titans at the Chargers.
Chargers.
I want to pick the Chargers. They just have way too many injuries for me. I'm going to pick them. I'm going to pick them, but I'm not really comfortable with it. Trust. I really think. You know what? I'm changing my mind. I'm going to go ahead with Tennessee because I think that might have a field day. All right. Denver at Oakland. This should be the good game. This is.
That's going to be the good game. That's going to be a good game. Is Aqib Talib playing this week? Because he was out last game.
I'm not sure.
That would make a big difference because Amari Cooper is a large load.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Oakland. Isn't it great that Oakland is winning?
Yeah,
oh,
I like and they're fun to watch. They're not just winning; they're winning and they're fun to watch. So I'm gonna go with Oakland as well. The Monday night game. This is trash. God, Buffalo or Seattle? Who came up with this shit, man? The only thing Buffalo did for me was throw a dildo on the field, made me laugh for 2 days.
I'm gonna pick Seattle just because Buffalo is disgusting. All from the fans, the players, the coach, everything. You throwing dicks on the field. Yeah, that's disgusting.
That's the funniest shit I've seen in a long time, though. Thank you, Lord, for amusing me. But yes, I'm going to go see that as well. So, yeah, that's the NFL picks for week 9. I only saw like 3 games that I'm interested in. I'm not going to lie to you. There's like 4. Okay, 4. There's like 4 games that I would watch. And then everything else I really could care less about. I couldn't care less about. All right, college football time. Your Alabama Crimson Tide is playing LSU this weekend with Coach Orange, because that's what I call him, because I don't never remember how to say his name. So Coach Orange, who they've been undefeated since taking over for Les Miles. Is this the year that LSU finally shows up against Alabama? Because remember last year, they cashed out.
I'm sorry, you said cashed out. That's exactly what happened.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, I don't know where he went after that.
Can I get my check early, please?
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly.
LSU at home. I think we have just enough to stop Leonard Fournette.
Now, you have a safety that's out for the year, correct?
Yes, Eddie Jackson is out for the year, I believe.
Yes, that's his name.
Eddie Jackson is out for the year, yes. But, you know, we keep about 12 or 15 of the same caliber players on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So Nick Saban has really perfected the next man up mentality. So I think that we'll do fine. I'm always looking for the one loss. You know what I mean? I'm always looking for that one loss. I thought it would come against Ole Miss. And it did not, thank God. But, it, you know, anything can happen in college football. Jalen Hurts still makes me nervous. You know, I'm not fully confident in him. He fumbles too much for me. And once you fumble a few times for me, every time you have the ball in your hand and you take off running, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
So, the kid is phenomenal. He's 18 years old. He's phenomenal. But he fumbles a little bit too much, and I think the offense sputters too much in the beginning of the games. Like, some of these games, yeah, the slow starts. And, you know, that works against certain teams, but some teams you're not going to be able to come back on like that. So, you know, I just don't want us to sputter. I just want us to go out there and beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, I don't really find – although I don't want to discredit what LSU has done since letting Les Miles go. I really don't. I mean, I just don't see how I can see. I mean, it's possible. Maybe Fournette decides to get some type of revenge. I don't know. But I still think Bama wins. I feel like that the Iron Bowl game is one that Bama fans should be more interested in terms of possibly getting an L. You know, it's a rivalry game. Auburn is better than they've played better football over the past few weeks.
Absolutely.
They're a top 15 team ranked now. And, you know, they're going to come in with an added motivation because, obviously, Alabama is not only their rival, but if they are undefeated, they're going to want to knock them off. So I'm not trying to discredit what LSU can do. I'm just not sure if this is the year that they're going to – I mean, but honestly, to be quite honest, this needs – if they want to win, this needs to be the year. This needs to be it. Because, like you said, you got a quarterback that knows how to turn over the football. So if you can take advantage of that, this should be your year. But when Jalen Hurts finally gets it and he can hold that ball, that's when, hey, this shit is lights out again. Sorry. I mean, obviously this is one of the games. This is the game of the week for me. But, you know, we gonna find out. We'll see how LSU goes. Tennessee, this is great news for me. I mean, I don't really give a shit. They have lost Jalen Hurd and the defensive guy. I apologize that his name is missing me, but he's definitely a key player. They have both told the team that they would be leaving. Jalen Hurd's uncle went on Reddit, allegedly, because this has not been confirmed that that is his uncle, but the rumor has it that it was his uncle venting, saying that Butch Jones had promised Hurd that he would be running a whole bunch of I formations, a lot of plays that was getting in the ball, and then they did none of that. And he was playing hurt, and he was contributing, doing what he can for the team, who essentially was doing nothing for him in return that they promised. And that's why he's leaving. I think it's fair. Let's bring up the fact that Hurd would be eligible to go to the NFL draft in 2017, but instead he has opted to go to another school and play another position. So.
What school is he going to?
Well, we don't know that yet.
Oh, okay.
We don't know where he's decided to go. But apparently he done made his mind up that he's going to another school and he's going to either be a wide receiver or a tight end this late in his career. So, did Jalen Hurd quit on the Vols, or if his uncle's explanation is accurate, that's a valid reason?
I haven't heard anything that makes me think that this couldn't have been resolved by him and the Vols. Maybe without all the outside people, like, you know, Uncle Joe or whatever the hell his name is. It's, what do you have, two more games left in the season?
Four.
You have four more games left in the season. But he didn't play in a couple of games. I understand that. Then you want to transfer to another school, and you definitely want to start when you transfer. We don't know what school that is. Wasting precious time. And then if you had hopes of going into the draft in 2017, which that would be just a waste of time for him. That kind of looks bad that you quit on your team, too. And not just quit by not playing, but you quit by just leaving the school.
Right.
You know, that all of that looks kind of bad. So it seems like he's getting some bad advice. But on the other side, I'm always a fan in support of players that are not getting paid protecting themselves. People who are working and are not getting paid protecting themselves.
Yes.
So if he feels like he's protecting himself, and the best way to protect himself as a person that is doing free labor is to leave, then I support that decision.
I completely agree. And SEC country, everything that you said to me is valid. Like, I'm not okay with what he did, okay? But, you know, I don't want to hear about he's getting paid an education. I don't give a damn about that education or that little dumbass stipend that they get. He's doing free labor. That's what he's doing. And SEC Country did an article that said, you know, Jalen Hurd is everything that's wrong with college football, and dumped on this kid. I am really fed up with people expecting children or young men, whichever you want to call them, to make these adult decisions when, number one, they're not getting paid any money to do this, you know, strenuous job on their bodies. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, learn who they are and what they want. And want better decisions and make those. And because you disagree with them, you feel the need to dump on them. That's just completely unfair to Hurd and everybody else. Do I think you should quit on your team midseason? No. But, you know, my thing is why is he quitting midseason? Maybe that's something that we need to be talking about instead of, oh, he quit midseason. He's quitting on his team. Well, maybe there's a reason. And maybe the reason is valid. Or at least maybe if it isn't valid to you, it's valid enough for him to move on. So that's right. The part that I don't like is that we are beating up a kid who wants to make a better decision for him, and he feels that the time is now. For whatever reason, he feels the time is now. It is kind of jacked up because they just came off of a shocking loss to South Carolina. They're now 5-3. They had the driver's seat of the SEC East, and now all of a sudden, you know, they have three losses. So it's a bad time. But what would have been a good time? What would have been a good time for your star player, one of your top players, to leave the program?
Never.
Exactly. So people just got to get up off of him, man. That shit really bothered me. We got to stop harping on these kids. They are still kids at the end of the day. I'm going to tell you one thing. If my son was Jalen Hurd, 19, 20 years old, and somebody was talking like that, I would be cussing all their asses out on social media, just like a mama would.
Let me tell you something right now. You mean tell me you will cuss my child out that's not getting paid?
Thank you. Thank you.
That's putting their body on the line. That is a 19-year-old kid.
Exactly.
I would like that. But you know what? I might not go after the people doing the death threats and stuff like that. I might go straight for those writers that write the articles like that.
That's who I'm going after.
People. That's who I'm going after. That is who I'm going after.
Because they should
be on the summer dram scare. They should know better.
They should know better.
These are kids. Yep. Who was that coach that time that said that? It was like, you want to come after somebody, you come after
Mike
me.
Mike Gundy, I believe.
Yeah, he said, I'm a man. Gundy. You want to come after me? I'd be 2 feet in their face.
Yep, I sure as hell
would. 2 feet in their face about this. You know what I mean? And that's even a lot for a rookie NFL player. You're still a kid.
Yep.
You know, 20 years old, 21 years old. You don't know anything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they should be ashamed of themselves. But they have completely disconnected themselves from the fact that these are students.
Yep. Students.
Who are athletes. Who are putting themselves in danger every single play. Get out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of my face. Okay, so we know Heisman time is coming soon. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, I think that people expected him to fall off a little bit. And then, you know, I think that we all thought that Saturday was the game that he was possibly going to fall off. He had went through the fourth quarter, I believe. He had no touchdowns. And then, boom, He throws the game-winning touchdown, and it was a great play, too. And now we're talking about Lamar Jackson again. So is there anybody you would pick right now over Lamar Jackson for the Heisman?
No. No. Like, I don't – I mean, you know, I saw it for Dalvin Cook, but, you know, and I think that Dalvin Cook in the last game, I think he made – you know, he threw his name back in the hat. But I don't really see anybody that's close to Lamar Jackson right now.
I think that
– Yeah, sorry.
If I had to pick someone not Lamar Jackson, it would probably be Jabril Peppers. But because Jabril Peppers is a defensive player, and I personally feel that the Heisman is no longer geared towards defensive players, that it's an offensive guy's award, then it's not going to happen. Yeah. Now, I think
– Yeah, you have to really make an impact as a defensive player.
I think he'll be invited to New York. But I just can't see how they pick Jabril. If they do, I'd be completely shocked. I just feel like now that in the age of football in general, whether it be college or NFL, where everything is offensive-driven, I just find it hard to believe that they go for Jabril over Lamar. Because Lamar is still playing, you know, on a consistent level. I mean, they didn't play well against Virginia, obviously, but they still came out one, and he still threw a perfect throw to win the game. So I don't think anybody's touching Lamar. I mean, people want to say Deshaun Watson. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Mm-mm.
No.
Clemson is a little shaky.
Yes, they are. But I feel that way about all the teams, honestly. Mine is Alabama and their issues. They're still dominant. Everybody else is just kind of there just to be there. So speaking of Alabama and everybody else, college football playoff rankings start this week. We get into the committee the last 4 weeks of the season, so this makes week one of four before the final. And so right now we have number one is Alabama, of course. Number two is Clemson. Number three, Michigan. And number four, Texas A&M. And people on Twitter are not happy about this.
And that's the reason. We can talk about this all the time. Yes. That's the reason why they put it out.
Yes.
So y'all cannot be happy.
And the reason why they're not happy is because Washington is undefeated right now, has played good football, and for whatever reason, they have not made the top 10. Meanwhile, Texas A&M lost to Alabama. And somehow made it in. But we talked about this on the timeline. So, again, for those who missed the conversation, what's your thought on this?
Look, this thing can change. We still have a few more games to play. This can definitely change. I don't see it changing too much other than Texas A&M may fall out. I think everything else will pretty much stay the same. I was wondering how people would feel about two SEC teams being in there, because that probably can cause a lot of uproar. But Washington is balling. And we already know. We knew when this whole college football playoff thing came into play that it was just something else that was going to piss people off. And the reason why people are pissed off is because you are going to have undefeated teams who won't get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's disappointing, especially if you are a fan. I think that Washington, like a lot of teams, are a victim of the conference they're in. They're a victim of the time their games come on, all kinds of things. So, you know, I guess they'll change this playoff system soon enough. But like I said, just give it a few more weeks until we can actually have the reveal, and then everybody can get upset. Right now, they're just getting you to keep talking about college football.
That's basically all it boils down to, is that this is how they get people. You're so outraged. I don't understand. Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't really count. So, you know, here we are. And at the end of the day, until it's the final one, they can add any team they want to. And it's going to draw us to argue, us to at least be talking about it, which is what they want. That mm-hmm. was the whole purpose of the playoff committee in the first place, to keep people involved in college football. What's fun about this is that, you know, I just really feel like this is a non-dominant year. And I've said, I know that I'm probably pushing the comparison to 2007 too much, but I just feel like it reminds me a lot of 2007 in terms of there was no real dominant teams. And again, outside of Alabama, it's up for grabs all over the place. Mm-hmm. There's so many holes mm-hmm. everywhere. I, at one point, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, thought Ohio State was the only team that would give Alabama a problem. And then they lost. to Penn State. And then they barely beat Northwestern last week. So, yep. You know, Ohio State is struggling right now. Michigan isn't really good offensively, particularly at their quarterback situation. Texas A&M is the most complete, but we have already seen that show. So we know what's going to happen with that one. You know? Washington, yeah, it'd be interesting because they have really good defense too. But, you know, Alabama just knows how to wear you down in the second half of the game. And I don't know if Washington would be up for that challenge. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't care a whole lot about this initial one. Washington, as long as they went out and do their job, they'll be fine. But until then, you know, they're going to switch them out. They're going to piss people off because it keeps us talking about college football. What they want. Exactly.
They want us to be upset, y'all. Don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it.
That's the reason why they released the AP polls before the season starts. Don't fall for it. Exactly.
Well, listen, this was our comeback podcast. it was fun. It was like old times.
Yeah, it was fun. We won't take any more mid-season breaks. Yes. We had a bye week.
But you know what? The NFL been on a damn bye week all year. So we are, y'all be all right.
For real.
Any final thoughts that you would like to add?
As always, I'm looking forward to a good weekend of football. You know, the weather is getting a little chillier, so I plan to, you know, cook and stay in, and I want to be entertained. If not, NFL, don't fuck with me. I will turn Netflix on in a minute. In a minute. Like, I am no longer going to be a prisoner to bad games. It does nothing for me. So y'all can play around if you want to. I'll be watching Netflix or something like that. One other thing I do want to say is I want to wish a get well soon to one of our listeners, Shamaria. She's on Twitter, and she had some surgery today. Tomorrow she's going to have surgery. So she always listens to the podcast. We hope to have her on to be a guest this season.
Yeah.
And she's a big supporter of Gridiron Gals down there in Texas, Cowboys fan. So get well soon, friend.
Feel better. No final thoughts for me other than the NFL just need to get their shit together, man. I am unbothered. You know, the Ravens are a bad team, but you know what? You know why I don't feel too bad about it? As bad as the Ravens are, they're still in the playoff race of the AFC North. That's how bad football has been. The Ravens are 3-4 and still could, if they beat the Steelers, could absolutely be tied for first place, I believe, for the AFC North. Woo. Trash. This is trash. I'm tired, man. Do better, man. This shit is ridiculous. So, thank you guys for joining us. We love you guys. Tell the NFL to stop giving the damn bye breaks, and we'll stop giving the bye breaks because we want more. Shit. College is giving it to us. NFL is just kind of like, So, hopefully, we'll be back next week with some great recaps to talk about what they've listened to
the podcast. I hope so. Y'all take care.
Bye, guys.
Jam, then let me shake my jelly. Jumping and thumping, man, I got the crowd yelling. Get it, kick it, kick it, kick it, then no telling. Oh, you better move, Ellen. I got a nice round. Woo.